This is All of It on WNYC. I'm David First, in for Allison Stewart. Welcome, America, to the big dance, the one shining moment where underdogs can become champions and legends are made. I am talking, of course, about Starch Madness, a tournament in which 64 different sandwiches are pitted against each other in a no-holds-barred competition. It is the food equivalent of the NCAA basketball tournament, which formally began about 1 hour ago, the round of 64 on the men's side. So the timing for this conversation is perfect. It is the brainchild of the website Serious Eats. And here now to explain what this is and how this works is Daniel Gritzer, the editorial director of Serious Eats. Daniel, welcome to All of It.
Thank you for having me, David. I'm glad to be here.
If you want to check this out, just go to, if you don't believe me that this is happening, go to www.seriouseats.com. But Daniel, explain Starch Madness. When did this start and what made you do it?
Well, okay, so it was originally the idea of a former colleague of mine named Sasha Marks, who is a true sports fanatic. It may be revealed in the course of our conversation that my sports knowledge is a little bit lacking.
That's okay. You're here to talk sandwiches.
I'm here for the sandwiches. I was glad to find out the true March Madness began an hour ago. I didn't know that. But
that's amazing, by the way. You don't even know that's happening.
I know it's happening in March. I knew that much. So it was 5 years ago, and I think it was when, because of the pandemic, the sports were on hold. That happened, right? And so to kind of bring the competitive spirit back, we launched the first year of Starch Madness, which was pitting pasta shapes, dried pasta shapes against each other. It was very fun. People had a great time. The voting happened on on Serious Eats' Instagram profile.
Right.
And we've taken it from there. And so this is now the fifth year. And as you mentioned, the competition this time is sandwiches.
Sandwiches. Now, have you gotten any strongly worded legal letters from the NCAA?
Not yet.
I shouldn't bring this up.
Yeah. If anyone's listening who might be involved in sending a letter like that, please don't.
Please don't. So why sandwiches this time?
Well, so as the name suggests, the puns are strong in this one, and so it's Starch Madness, and every year we choose a starch. So the first 2 years it was year one was dried pasta shapes, year two was pasta sauces. That's year two is when we really shifted to a true recipe bracket. So we have, for these 64 recipes each year, we have or dishes, I should say, we have a recipe for each one. And so there's always a starch in question. Year three was potatoes. Last year was rice. And now we're doing sandwiches, which, of course, the starch would be the bread.
And you have this bracket up on your website, but you also have to have a recipe for every single one of these 64 sandwiches.
That's right. And it's, you know, Serious Eats has been around for a while now in digital, dog years or whatever the term might be. But still, we don't want to just have random sandwiches or random recipes in the bracket. We want these to be iconic, recognizable. You see it on a menu, you're going to know what it is type sandwiches. Mm. Part of putting this very, very, very big undertaking together is going through our library, figuring out what do we have. Some things could be, you know, there could be recipes now that are 12 years old, and double checking, is this recipe great as it should be? So lots of cross-testing, updating, reshooting all of the art. And then no matter how great we are in terms of the options that we have in our recipe library, when you're talking about 64 recipes, there are missing ones. So we added roughly 30 new recipes to the site just in the past few months to make this bracket possible.
Well, I should say, if you have a question about Starch Madness, if you want to give a shout out to your favorite sandwich, or if you want to trash talk one, give us a call, 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-9692. You can also text us at that same number. But just like the basketball tournament, there are brackets. How does this work?
It's a highly scientific process, which is a lie. It's 64 recipes, and we break them down into four regions in the spirit of the March Madness brackets, which, as I already admitted, I don't really know anything about. At one point, we had tried to figure out if we could truly group the recipes thematically, but it's so far in each year has been impossible. So they're very playful brackets. We have the four regions that we have have punny names like the upper crust and great and bread, no pain, no grain. There's no rhyme or reason really to which sandwiches find their way into each bracket. But we do try to seed the recipes so that you have what we're considering the top seed against the underdogs in the early matchups. And that's totally just based on sort of gut feeling, you know, maybe some site statistics that we have on which sandwich recipes are the most popular and just, yeah, kind of a sense of like, well, I suspect that the, you know, grilled cheese is probably a top seed. And I suspect that there might be some other ones that may be great sandwiches, may deserve to win, but probably are just less well known among our audience.
Based purely on gut feelings, that could be similar to how the committee made some of the basketball decisions this year as well. But I won't get into that. But let's talk about the ranking system a little bit more. How did a sandwich like the BLT, for example, get to be a number one seed?
Well,
it's that gut feeling.
It's that gut feeling. I mean, it's a popular recipe on our site. We're very nerdy. For anyone who doesn't know Series Seats, we are a very nerdy cooking site. We love to go down the rabbit hole. And we are very, very interested in exploring the techniques to make things great. And so if you read, this was my former colleague, Kenji Lopez Altz. It's a name some folks might recognize. That's his recipe, and he left no stone unturned in his exploration of what makes a great BLT. So I think BLT is just, I think we probably all can agree that that's a perennial favorite among, I mean, at least folks who like bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
Right. You do have to be in that category.
You have to check those boxes.
An iconic sandwich.
It's an iconic sandwich.
If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-9692. And I have to ask, how does the voting work? You know, how do people cast a vote? Is it always one sandwich against another sandwich, one at a time?
So each showdown, it pits two sandwiches against each other. And so what we have, we're actually today in day 4 of our voting, but there's still plenty of voting left to happen and critical votes that still need to happen. So starting Monday, this past Monday, we've voted through the each region. So today is the fourth region that's being voted on. The winners of, and there's a, let me get this right, there's 16 recipes in each region. So the 8 winners from each region will then funnel down to votes tomorrow. And then we take a break over the weekend. And starting on Monday, we resume voting daily on the, you know, we call it the final forks, not the final four. We have playful names, but although with a sandwich, do you really need a fork? Not most of the time. Maybe there might be a few on the list that can count for that. But and on Friday, so a week from tomorrow, is when we will announce the winner. So anyone who wants to put their finger on the scale of which sandwich comes out on top, you can vote on SeriousEats.com. If you just go to the homepage, you'll see Starch Bendis right there, and you can also vote through our Instagram page and. You can vote in both places, so you can double vote in this tournament through both platforms.
Ooh, that's power.
So you know, yeah, go to both if you care. And I'm just gonna say we put the hot dog in this bracket,
which
is a very controversial.
Very move. Controversial.
It was. I'll admit we did it because it was controversial.
So someone just texted, did they include a hot dog?
Yes,
that's
we
the question,
did.
The age-old question.
Yes, we did, and it does. The hot dog fits within our definition of a sandwich for the sake of this bracket, which is any food held between two pieces of bread or nestled in a split bun attached at one hinge.
Oh, hinge.
Yeah. So that gets you the lobster roll. It gets you all sorts of sort of Italian deli subs like, a chicken parm or a meatball sub where oftentimes the hoagie roll might be left attached at one hinge. So if it checks that box, it got into the bracket. And so the hot dog is in. And I can tell you, as of a few minutes ago, I checked, the hot dog is leading in its face-off against, oh gosh, I'm going to forget what it is. But if anyone wants to make sure that the hot dog doesn't win, which I think there might be some people out there who feel strongly about that, you're going to want to go vote.
Okay, you could check it out. Again, the website is SiriusEats.com. And if you would like to join this conversation, this very controversial conversation, obviously, 212-433-9692. And we have a call. Howard in Forest Hills, welcome to All of It.
Yeah, hi. The first thing that comes to mind, I used to be in Olita a lot because my friend owned an Australian restaurant, but I would go over to get Vietnamese sandwiches in the neighborhood, banh mi sandwiches. I love them, you know. So basically, you have a French baguette with different slices of cold cuts and vegetables and like a mayonnaise sauce on it, and they were delicious.
Incredible. Incredible sandwich. What was that other one, Howard?
I could think of two places. I don't know if they're still there. I haven't been there for a long time. One was at Mulberry and Grand, and the other one was on Kenmore. And the only difference was the size. The one at Kenmore, they were larger. So I always used to get, you know, different cold cuts. They also had chicken one, but I never got it with chicken, and I loved it. They're delicious sandwiches.
Banh mi are amazing sandwiches. There is a banh mi in our bracket. It is a kind of a breakfast banh mi that has some egg, like an omelet in it. We have more than one banh mi recipe on Sirius Eats, but the one that's in the bracket is the egg one. And in a lot of cases, I sort of expect that the most famous kind of American sandwiches, like the BLT, the peanut butter and jelly, the grilled cheese, are ones that are going to, you know, have a high chance of taking the title. But banh mi is one of the international ones that I think has a real shot. I think it's well known at this point. Among a kind of primarily US-based audience, and anyone who's eaten one knows how good they are.
We have another question for you, Daniel. Very important question. Is the patty melt considered a sandwich?
Yes, the patty melt checks our definition of a sandwich and is in the bracket.
Okay, checks the box. And let's hear, we have, okay, so hot dog checks the box, patty melt checks the box. I wanted to know, you know, the competition's been going on for 4 days. Have there been any what you would consider to be upsets?
So far, that's a great question. So far, for the most part, no. For the most part, and either this is because we did really wonderful seeding, where the expected winners were pitted against ones we thought.
So some people are already out of the contest at this point.
Yes, for the first three regions, because today is region four, the decisions have been made on those original 16, and they have been winnowed down to the 8 surviving ones from each of those. Today, though, you can still jump in and vote on that first round of region four, and then, like I said, all tomorrow and all through next week through Thursday, there's voting to continue to figure out which sandwich is going to come out on top.
All right. Again, that's at SiriusEats.com. If you want to join the conversation, 212-433-9692. Let's hear. Frank is calling in to say that we can call off all the voting because he already has the best sandwich. Frank?
The best sandwich is absolutely the sandwich you make the evening of Thanksgiving with all the leftovers that you had that day. The turkey, the cranberry sauce, even a little gravy, and even a little stuffing, and preferably on some really good rye bread.
You know, I'm sad to say, because I actually kind of agree with you and the sentiment, the Thanksgiving leftover sandwich, which is a thing in my family too, is not in the bracket. It's a hard one to write a recipe for because it sort of depends what's on your, you know, what are your leftovers on your particular.
It is leftover dependent. Yeah,
it's leftover dependent. It's you're using what you've got. But I'm with you. That's an honorable mention.
That's a great one. Thank you so much for that suggestion, Frank. Is there a particular Cinderella sandwich that you have in the list here? A particular underdog that you think could surprise us all and go deep into the tournament?
What a great question. A Cinderella sandwich. You know, my brain is scanning through 64 recipes. I don't know that I exactly have a Cinderella sandwich, but I will say that me personally, some of the ones that I think are very likely contenders are not my top picks. So I'm certainly hoping for a Cinderella story with some of the matchups. Some of them have already not worked out in my favor. So I'm pretty sure that the tuna melt fell to the grilled cheese. And I love a grilled cheese, but I think I'd prefer tuna melt most days. So that was an unfortunate one for me. Where
all right, we got some questions about some sandwiches. Are these ones in the list? Does bologna ever enter into sandwiches anymore? What about fluffernutter, chopped cheese?
Oh wow, okay. Some of my colleagues were voting for sandwiches involving fluff. It didn't happen. I can't really explain why. Bologna is not in the bracket as a traditional kind of bologna sandwich on, you know, sandwich bread with mayo, that kind of thing. I will say we have some sandwiches in the bracket that we had to create recipes for just because the bracket necessitated it that really don't need recipes, like the PB&J.
I wanted to ask you about your PB&J recipe. I know you had to come with – you had to have recipes for everything.
I had to come up with something.
And this recipe – for PB&J is really long, including having an ingredient of kosher sea salt. Do I have this right?
That is one of my recommended, upgrades, let's say, to the classic PB&J. It's just a tiny bit of salt. And it depends on your peanut butter and whether it's salted or how salted it is. But a little pop of salt in there with the sweet works really well. Yeah, I was really not looking forward to writing a head note for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich recipe, nor was I looking forward to writing the recipe, honestly, because it's sort of like writing a recipe for how to boil water. What do you do with that? And then somehow I wrote well over 1,000 words about it. My wife read it and looked at me and said, "This is unhinged," which maybe means, I don't know, everyone should go read it and decide if I wasted a lot of time and pixels with what I wrote. But I had a lot of fun with it.
Can you even improve on the basic PB&J,
You know, there are, as much as there's nothing to say about it, there's also a lot to say about it.
Wow.
You know, one thing is it's often a packed lunch, right? So people love to try to figure out how to avoid the dreaded soggy bread with the jelly getting or the jam getting into the bread. And so I tested a variety of methods for avoiding that, including putting the peanut butter on both slices of bread and sandwiching the jelly in the middle. So the peanut butter acts as a physical barrier. I tested toasting and griddling with oil, griddling with butter. And then I tested those approaches over time. So I had my sandwiches wrapped in little plastic baggies, and every 2 hours I would taste another sample to see how they were evolving. there are some things that you actually can say about how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I love it.
Once you go crazy enough.
Okay, right, exactly. So check out the recipe, SeriousEats.com. If you want to join the conversation, 212-433-9692. Let's hear from Craig calling from Connecticut. Good afternoon. Welcome to All of It.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Of course, yes. Do you have a particular sandwich question?
Yes, I do. I was wondering where the Parmesan group falls in the discussion, in the game, is a matchup. Chicken Parmesan is one of my favorite go-tos. There's veal Parmesan, not as often, but was that considered?
Yeah, there's a chicken parm sub or sandwich in the bracket. So, you know, of course, even with 64 iconic sandwiches, you can't cover them all. So there's no veal version of that in the bracket. But we tried to represent a pretty wide range and across a range of cuisines as well. The chicken parm is definitely in there.
Are there any other great regional sandwiches in there? I mean, did you get into the controversy, the New Jersey Taylor ham roll controversy?
We sure did. My colleague, Tess Komen, who's a Jersey native, wrote a whole lot about the pork roll or Taylor ham, depending on which team you are on. And we have a recipe for it that works with either pork roll or the Taylor ham.
Well, a lot of people are texting and calling right now. Melissa in Brooklyn saying, this is going to be a really fun bracket for me to follow. Thanks so much for putting it together. Long live the fluffernutter. Okay.
Yeah, we really dropped the ball on that one. Got to revisit.
Got to revisit.
Next
okay.
year.
If you want to join the bracket, SiriusEats.com. Oh, let's see. Can we get to another call? Let's hear from Yona from Brooklyn.
Yes. Hi. I was wondering if you have lox on the rye as a sandwich.
Oh, lox on rye. Was that what you said?
Lox on Jewish rye.
We did. Okay. So I actually, in a very controversial move, I banned all bagel sandwiches just as a starting point, because I with a very strongly held opinion, feel that even though one can go to even a great place like Russ and Daughters and buy a bagel sandwich and it will be delicious, that is strictly a kind of you're doing a to-go thing, walking down the street in New York. The bagel properly, in my opinion, should be eaten open face, split with, with cream cheese and the smoked salmon on top. We do have a smoked salmon tea sandwich in the mix, but we also didn't include any open face sandwiches.
Oof, this is a shocking admission at the very end here, Daniel.
On the grounds that I would be willing to debate anyone that an open face sandwich is, in fact, not a sandwich. It's
yet you have the ice cream sandwich in this bracket. So we're getting very controversial at the end here, and we're just about out of time.
Okay. Yeah, we do have the ice cream sandwich. I issued so many demands about the bracket that I had to let the ice cream sandwich through. It was one hill I couldn't die on.
Okay. If you want to join this, our guest, Daniel Gritzer, the editorial director of Sirius Eats, you can vote by going to SiriusEats.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Daniel.
Thank you.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.